Sienna Spiral. That one was Die on This Hill. You're on Spin Now with me, Katie. Good morning. It's that time of the week that I bring you a special guest, and he is very special indeed. Andrew Nolan joining me on the show. Andrew, how are you this morning?
Good. How are things? Thanks for having me on.
I actually feel quite foolish this morning for saying how sore I am from going to the gym when you are undertaking the Everest. I don't even know where to begin with you, Andrew, because this is just incredible. This is the last of the Seven Summits Challenge. So I suppose I'll dive straight into that. Tell our listeners a little bit about what the Seven Summits Challenge is.
Yeah, so it's the highest peak in each of the seven continents. So, you know, there's Europe, Africa, North America, South America, Australia, Antarctica and Asia. So I've been lucky enough to complete six to date. So in a few weeks, the last one is Everest. So I'll be heading over to Nepal and giving it a go, you know.
You're just so calm about all of this. Everest stands at 8,848 metres. Oxygen levels at the summit are about one third of sea level and temperatures can drop to minus 40 degrees. Like, walk me through how you even train your body and mind to take on this challenge.
Yeah, I guess, I suppose the training and the skills, maybe I've learned to date. So I started in 2018 with Kilimanjaro, and like, I'd never done anything. No mountaineering, no anything. Kilimanjaro was actually my first time in a tent. I'd never actually been in a tent. And I suppose it's since Kilimanjaro and through the other peaks and stuff, you kind of pick up the skills you need to kind of, you know, get on okay in that kind of environment. So it's like, you know, the technical skills, the right gear, knowing what to wear, that kind of stuff. I suppose the coldest temperature I've probably experienced to date was probably either in Denali or Antarctica, probably about minus 25.
Wow.
Or there it was. But if you have the right gear, it's okay. You just need to be really careful just for frostbite and stuff.
And you do this for a charity. Let's talk a little bit about that. What charity do you do this for?
Yeah, so I guess since I started in 2018, there's been a few charities. First of all, there was the Irish Cancer Society. Then it was Laurlin's Children's Hospice in Dublin. And the last couple of hikes, it's the Grief Centre just in the road there in O'Connell Avenue. So the Children's Grief Centre. So they do some really good work.
And why did you choose that charity?
I guess my thought process was that, you know, the other two charities, you know, are really kind of larger entities. And I called into the guys inside, Carol, and, they do really good work. You can tell that, you know, they're probably slightly underfunded for the work they do. And it just made sense to me that, you know, to kind of work with somebody kind of more local, and, you know, just try and raise a few quid for them, you know.
I love that. Absolutely love that. You have climbed six of the seven already. What does Everest mean to you personally compared to the others?
I guess it's. I suppose, as I said, the journey started in 2018. So I suppose for me personally, it's a case of, you know, if I start something, I kind of like to finish it. So my hope is that, you know, I'll get over. It'll take about 2 months. You know, you do need a bit of luck as well. You need to kind of try and stay healthy when you're over there. And yeah, I think it'd just be completion of a kind of a chapter or a journey, and you know, yeah. I suppose it's. I don't really think about it in terms of, I suppose, the. Maybe I only started thinking about it recently, you know, like, it's 2018 that kind of started, and I didn't realize, Jesus, I'm on this for like 8 years. It kind of just dawned on me that, you know, like, it's, you know, we'd COVID in the middle and everything, it was kind of like a disruptor. But yeah, I think it'll be important to finish it. Yeah, just from a personal perspective, yeah, it's just good to get it finished.
Anything scary, Andrew? Is there anything that stands out that you're like, do you know what, that was a bit scary when I did previous ones? Is there anything on the climb that?
Yeah, like, there's a load of stuff, I suppose, that potentially is scary and stuff, like, but, you know, in terms of fear, I've spoken about this recently just to a colleague of mine and stuff, that, you know, like, it's important to kind of, not normalise fear, but it's important to kind of, like, you know, acknowledge fear and don't let fear kind of get into your head. Because, like, I have seen stuff on the mountains whereby, you know, people can kind of just have a lapse, or kind of a moment where they kind of lose it slightly, and it can turn into panic. And, you know, I've seen it's a really difficult space to be in. So I think the key part is, like, I suppose, being aware of your environment. Yeah, there is a little bit of risk associated with it, but you know, you just have to remain calm, you know, and kind of just trust the process and get on with the process. My thought process.
I like that. I presume you'll have a team with you, Andrew. Will you have a team with you doing this?
Yeah, there'll be a team. So I think there's about eight of us in the team. There'll be a couple of guides. I don't know any of them. Now, I have connected with a couple of them just by chance on social media, whereby it turns out somebody sent a message and who you're going with, and I said I'm going with CTSS and coincidentally they're going as well. So I know of three guys, and the guide who was in Antarctica with me last time around, Mike. I know Mike as well, so Mike's going to be one of the guides in this. So I definitely know at least one person.
Okay, you're so calm about this. I'll definitely know one person. I'm fine.
Yeah, like it's funny, you know, like the first one I did it with a buddy of mine, and there's no way on earth I would have done the first one without somebody. And then the second one, Elbrus, we kind of went to Russia and stuff. I didn't know anybody, but it turns out nobody in the group knew anybody. And then I was lucky enough to meet a friend of mine from New Zealand, Harley, that I did three with in total then. And then your kind of mindset is, you know, like if you know somebody, you're doing it, great. If you're not, you just get to know them, you know, because they're going to be part of your team, your life for 2 months when you're over there. So, yeah, no, it's grand. I mean, you'd obviously prefer to go knowing somebody, but at the end of the day, you know, you're going to get to know people as well.
It's like anything else in life. When you do something in a group, you're going to build a friendship and a connection with them. The big question, are you going to be documenting this over the 2 months?
Yeah, that's the plan. So my top process in my head was, you know, doing a small bit of online stuff, and when I'm over there, it'll be Wi-Fi dependent, but like previous ones, you know, I used to kind of write little take notes and write it up after and stuff, but I think I'll just make like just a couple of like really short vlogs and stuff during the day. And when I can get Wi-Fi, apparently it's patchy enough, I'll try and throw some stuff online, you know.
I love it. Tell me, what has this journey taught you about yourself that you did not know before you began it in 2018?
Yeah, so like I definitely maybe 10, 15 years ago, I never would have considered myself somebody who would maybe an ambition like this or the drive to complete something like this, which was kind of very unusual. And I think maybe doing the first one kind of gave me the confidence that, you know, like it's good to try different things or harder things and challenge yourself. And I guess what it's taught me about myself is, you know, I kind of have this philosophy now, like where people ask me to do stuff or we're doing stuff, I tend not to say no, you know. So it's kind of like, you know, like, you know, let's do a hike or in Europe or something like that. And if a mate of mine said to me, and I'd say, yeah, come on, let's do it. So I think it's just a case of just saying kind of yes to opportunities.
Love now. That.
It's self-belief, I guess.
And trying new things.
Trying new things. And, you know, like it's, you'd probably succeed with some of them, you'll fail with other ones. That's fine, like, but I suppose it's part of the process as well, like.
Love that. Tell me, is this the last stop, Everest? Do you think this is the last stop, or do you think you'll take on some more after this?
No, I think I said at the onset it'd be the last one, but now that I'm closer to it, I don't think so. No, so like I have an idea. So like there's a couple of different seven summit lists, and it's kind of based on geography. So like the one I'm working on is the Bass list. So it's Kilimanjaro, it's Elbrus, it's Denali, it's Aconcagua, it's Vincent, Kosciuszko, and Everest. And then there's this other list called the Messner list, and the difference is that they put Blanc as the European peak instead of Elbrus, and then the Australian one, it's Carson's Pyramid. It's the definition of Oceania versus Australia. So what a lot of people do is, you know, to do the seven summits, you'll end up doing nine. So my plan would be to just do Blanc after Everest, and then just go back down south again and do Carson's Pyramid.
So you're not stopping. what you're telling me.
Unless something happens, and I don't know, maybe if I don't come back or something, I don't know. No, the plan would be to keep going, yeah.
Amazing.
As long as I can, anyway. Yeah.
Well, Andrew, if people wanted to go over and support this morning, support your charity, where would they find it?
Yeah, so look, it's on Instagram. So I'm just putting up kind of daily content. You know, I'm trying to take myself too seriously. I'm trying the humour thing on Instagram, just trying a few different things. So it's Andy _ I think it's Everest 2026. And, you know, if anybody wants to support the charity directly, there's an iDonate page. The link is on Instagram as well for the Grief Centre. And just to be clear, all funds go directly to the Children's Grief Centre.
Amazing. Andrew, we have also tagged you over on Spin's Insta story now, and you've brought in some gear to show us.
Yeah.
So we're going to take a little video of that and we'll put it up on Spin's Insta. So if you're interested in following this journey like I will be, head over now and follow him. Andrew, the very, very best of luck, and I'm going to be following you from start to finish. It's incredible what you're doing.
No, great. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much for taking the time.